there are some things that we need to proactively do to get over to the other side. And so the first thing that we need to do is do what Christ says. He asks, where is your faith? We need to stand in faith. Now, let me just tell you about faith. Hebrews 11, 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance indicates that it's something tangible. You can't see it, but that is what faith is about. God said it, and you must believe it. It's going to happen. All you need to do is have faith as a mustard seed. You will cross over in the name of Jesus. You don't see it happening, but God said it, and that's what is important. You're coming over to the other side. So believe him for your healing. Believe him for your wholeness. Believe him for your financial miracle. He's taking you to the other side. Amen. Faith. But you see, so many of us, we live like this. We waver. And depending on what we see. But you see, we have got to become like soldiers in the army. That we set our face as flint. And we say that God said it. And it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. I will not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I hear. I will not be moved by what others said. God said it, and that's what the truth is. And so, the other verse now, you have to know, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Because God says the answers to his promises are yea and amen. He didn't say it once. He said the answer to my, and when God says something twice, it means it is so. It is so. So the answers to God's promises are yea and amen. Stand in faith. When we look at the word of God, we see the great patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible. God said something, and they believed God unconditionally. But let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. When they anointed David with oil, and they said, you will be king, David had to hide in caves and run for his very life. When God said to Abraham, you will have a child. You will have a child in your old age. And his wife laughed. It was something so impossible. But God says there is nothing that is too difficult for him. Believe on him today. Believe in his promises. What he said is true, and it will come to pass in your life. The thing about faith now, that scripture verse, Hebrews 11 chapter 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, many people repeat the scripture, but they don't recognize the word now. You see, we always have to be in expectancy. May I have some water? We always have to be in expectancy, right? We are convinced that God has taken us through before, and this is no different. He's our deliverer. He's our strong tower. He's our refuge. We have got to believe that God wants to bring us to a good expected end. You will have what you believe God for. You will only have as much as you believe him for. No matter how much I pray for you, no matter how much pastor prays for you, Elise prays for you, you will have what you believe God for. Amen? Amen? Now, the next point I need to give you now is you need to trust God. Will you trust him? Will you trust him when you see the challenges? Will you trust him? Because when you are confronted by negative circumstances, I see the examples in the Bible. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 23. Everybody, who knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Who does? You can put up a little hand. Okay, very good, very good. All right, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. And here is what verse 23 says. Well, the story basically was that Daniel, the king had said there was no to be no other worship except for a particular God. But as you know, Daniel only served Jehovah God. And he would not bow to the principles of the world. And so Well, the statute now was, if you didn't do what the king said, you would be thrown into the lion's den. And so many of you may face circumstances where, because you take a stand, you may be in a lion's den. You take a stand, you may have persecution. But here's what Daniel did. Daniel said, no, I am willing to go into the lion's den. No, can you imagine? And so what it is that God shut the mouth of the lions. And here's what the word says, that the king, even the king himself, in verse 23, when they went for Daniel the next morning, then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. But hear what? Because he believed in his God. We have got to believe God unconditionally. Lions surrounding you. You can imagine? Well, I don't think it would be such an easy thing. Imagine that in your mind. Lions. But then it may not be a natural lion. It may be spiritual lion. It may be things that could cause you fear in your circumstances. Maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's that you may lose your job. But whatever lion there may be, God says, trust him. Trust him. One more instance in the book of Daniel was the three Hebrew boys. All right? And the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire. All right? They were thrown into the fire. Let me just read as of verse 25, where the king says, by the way, the king turned the fire up seven times hotter than normal. And even let me just tell you that the people who actually turned the fire up, it burned them. It burned them. But here is what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we will not bow to your principles. We will not bow to the worldly system, but we will continue to worship our God. And our God can deliver us, but even if he does not deliver us, we will still worship him. Will you worship him? And so here's what happened. Verse 27. And the princes, governors, captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Imagine that. My God. The word says, when you're walking through the fire, it will not burn you. In the book of Isaiah, when the water, though it may rise, it will not drown you, because God is keeping you. God is preserving you. We've got to be a people. We don't look at what we see. We've got to hear from God, and we've got to keep our focus on God. And so it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You've got to trust God no matter what you see happening around you. We have got to be a people that we do not allow our senses, our five senses, to dictate what happens in our life. It is what God said that should dictate what happens. But we got to be a people now. When we're going through adversity, you see, we tend to be like this, you know, we want to praise God when it's going on good, and yes, and yes, but when there are challenges now, that's the time. That's the way I know a victorious Christian. It's not the person that praises when things are good, but the person who, when things are not going the way that they thought it should be, they continue to worship God. And so I encourage you today that you should worship God. Worship God in the storm. Worship God when it's good. Worship God when it's bad, because he's truly worthy of all praise. And we don't worship him just because things are good. We worship him just because he is God all by himself. and he is the one true and living God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is worthy of our praise. And so that was the next point. We need to worship God. When we look at the book of Genesis chapter 22, we see the character of Abraham, who is our great father, because he is the father of all faith. And so Abraham, when God said he was to sacrifice his son, his only son, even that God had answered his prayers, and he had his miracle. And the word says that when God told Abraham, that Abraham didn't hesitate. He did what God wanted him to do. Mark you, he didn't tell his wife. He was wise. He didn't tell Sarah, look, I'm going to take our son over there and sacrifice. He was wise. He was a wise man, eh? And so Abraham prepared. And he was ready to do what God said. Because Abraham was totally convinced that even if God took this son, God would somehow raise the son or give him a new son. He trusted God completely. And the word says, here's what Abraham did at his greatest moment of trial, because he had to give up his most prized possession. Abraham was a wealthy man. He owned cattle, he owned sheep, he owned lots of stuff. But you see, God didn't test him in that area. God tested him in the area of giving up his most prized possession. And so maybe God is speaking to some of you today. What will you sacrifice for me? Will you give me your best? Will you give me your all? Will you give me the thing that is your most prized possession? And I guarantee you that in the area that you will minister, God will test you. You see, God, Abraham was supposed to be the father of many nations. And when you study now, his name was Abram. Abram, right? Which meant great father. And then after he was tested, God named him Abraham, father of many nations. You see, God has already determined your reward. You just need to pass your test. You just need to say, God, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm going to surrender all to you. I don't know how this will end, God, but I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you my all. Just because I love you, Lord. Just because I love you, Lord. And so here's what Abraham did. Genesis 22, verse 5. And this is how we need to do it. In all situations, in all circumstances, in everything, we need to worship God. And so it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship. And here's what he says, and come again to you. I'm just going to expound on that a bit. But I just want to read you one more scripture verse, 2 Thessalonians 5:16. You see, sometimes we walk around and we say, why God, why? But here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Some interpretation says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Did it say in everything? Did he say in some things? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now here is what. Life is a journey. And when God says, cross over to the other side, he knows exactly where you are today. He is sovereign. And don't you think that if he wanted to change some things, he would. But you know, there are some things that when we walk through the fire, there's a purification that happens. When we walk through the fire, we learn to depend on God completely. There are some situations that I've walked through in life, and I've learned at the end of it that God has really worked this out for his good. And so now, listen, and as we grow up in God, we're going to have greater tests, you know. It doesn't get any less. Greater tests. And I'm determined that I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Is that the determination of your heart? And so here's what happened now. God says, worship me. Worship me. You see, most of us, we want a miracle. We want a quick miracle. But God wants your worship. And sometimes when we're in these situations, we'll just cleave to God. For he's the only one that we can look to for help. He's the only one that can deliver us. He's the only one that can strengthen us. I've learned that when I'm alone, it's a good place to be because God is there with me. I've learned to depend on him for all. And he has never failed me yet. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Worship him. Worship him. Worship. I don't know if you know that when you worship, it actually changes things. Because it invites the very presence of God and the holy angels. All right. The next pointer is, now this is so important. We have got to learn to speak the word of God concerning or situations. You see, we have a real enemy, right? It's called Satan, the adversary. The adversary. And we can't understand why God has given us an invisible enemy. We'll understand some things when we get by and by. But you see, what happens is that the word says that he is already a defeated foe. There's a finished work at Calvary, and the blood speaks victory. It means you already have victory in your situation. Christ came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And so what it is now is that Proverbs 18:21 says, death or life lies in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. I'm going to tell you that there's a time when I used to walk through things and I used to speak what I saw. But I've learned that God's answer comes more quickly when I begin to speak in agreement to what God said. And so I don't speak to say, Lord, I feel like I'm going dead, you know. Lord, I feel like I'm tired. I can't take it no more, you know. Lord, I feel sick till, boy, never seen nothing like this before. You see, the enemy has no power over us. But when we speak as according to what we feel, that's when we begin to activate some things in our life. The things we speak have power. We speak anointed words. We either speak death or we speak life. Begin to speak, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. God, I feel so sick. I don't know where this headache is from. I don't know what the doctor said. But God, I believe you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon his head. But by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Lord, I don't know. But you are the provider of all my needs. And Lord, I don't understand this financial affliction, but God, your word says in 3 John 2 that I shall prosper. I will prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. You have got to speak the word of God and you will prosper, because prosperity is of God. Good health is of God, and your soul to grow and get fat is of God. But you've got to speak the word. And you've got to realize that even in the wilderness, what did Christ do? He spoke the word. He spoke and he said, now listen, can you imagine? Christ was on a 40-day fast. He needed food. Do you think that he was so strong in body? No, all the things that the enemy tested him in. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Those are the three tests that we will continue to go through until we leave this earth. Right? But when Jesus responded, what did he say? It is written. And it is enough to speak the word of God. I used to belong to a church in Jamaica where I was one of the deliverance ministers. That was before I started off church, okay? And I remember it was very unusual because the man of God recognized the anointing of deliverance on my life. And so he put me along. It was very unusual because it was usually only his family members that he would put into that place, right? But I would stand in the middle and they would be on either side and we would minister. And there would be people from all over the churches in Jamaica that would come for the ministry of deliverance on a Thursday. And I had no time because sometimes there would be 50 people waiting for me to minister. And I thank God that he gave me a strategy. Because sometimes I would see the other ministers wrestling and speaking to demons and getting nowhere. But the Lord gave me a strategy. Just speak the word concerning that situation. And that life was always changed. And those demons would have to go. There is power in the spoken word. The word says that God said, let there be light. God, oh, let there be light. And there was light. God opened his mouth and he spoke. And so that's what we need to do. We need to open our mouths and speak. It is written concerning me. And you know what? You have to be vigilant in doing. You've got to command your morning. You know that when you get up and pray, there are some things that you need to do. You need to declare, this is what God says about my day. God, I thank you that you say that you want to bring me to a good expected end. This is what, and you declare and decree the word of God concerning your life, your family, your situations, and watch change happen. You can't speak your children. You can't speak negative. Lord, I can't take this. Over your husband, I can't take this. You know, you're really foolish. Sometimes we have to ask God, you know, to deliver our mouthpiece. Deliver our mouthpiece. And then we will begin to walk in victory. You will have what you say. And when you look at the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible, did you see that Abraham prophesied into his situation? He said, God himself will provide a ram for the sacrifice. Right? But you see, you can't speak unless your heart is attuned to God and you know his word. I encourage you to grow deep in the study of the word of God. The word has got to be on the inside of you. And you've got to replay it concerning your situations and cause it to renew your mind. And that's when you can speak the word in faith with power and it makes a difference. It changes lives. It changes situations. It changes circumstances. You see, God is a spirit. And hear what now? We have body. We're three parts. We're tripartite beings. So we have spirit, soul, and body. The spirit realm is where God exists. Right? And I'm going to tell you, the spirit realm is more real than this realm. Because the spirit realm is where God exists. And every time we speak the word of God, we're activating something out of the spirit of God into the natural realm. We have got to learn to speak as thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Call those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4, Abraham, it says that he was counted for righteousness. And it says so about 6 times in that verse. Why? Because Abraham did not go through the rite of circumcision before God called him faithful. Before God called him righteous. He was called righteous, not because of the law, but because of his faith. And he called those things that be not as though they were. Begin to speak the word of God into your situations and watch your life change. Amen? So So the last thing I need to speak to you about now is the authority in that story. As I was telling you, Christ died at Calvary, not just so that you could have salvation, but so that you could have life more abundantly. The word of the Lord says, Christ came on this earth to destroy the works of the devil. You see, sometimes we can become out of balance and we begin to focus too much on what the enemy is doing and we don't hear what God is saying. All right? Because the thing looks so big. Now, let me tell you, God says the enemy goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let me explain about that connotation. You see, when the lion is young, the lion don't need to roar and make a lot of noise, you know. He just do what he have to do. He's the king of the jungle, and he will take his prey. But as he grows older, he becomes toothless. He becomes powerless. And so what he does, he makes a lot of noise to frighten the prey. And so that's what God is saying. The enemy is toothless. He's powerless. You need to stand and see my salvation. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 says, behold, let me just read it to you. Behold, I give unto you power. Say, I have power. In the name of Jesus. I have power in the name of Jesus. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Absolutely nothing. Over all the power of the enemy. I want that assurance to sit with you today. You have authority. All you need to do is say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to note, because there was something happening on the other side of the storm. Because when they crossed over, right, to Gennesaret, was it Gennesaret? Mm-hmm. That was where Jesus encountered the Gadarene man. And that was one of the biggest deliverances that Christ did. So sometimes the enemy sees what's ahead. And so he may challenge you. But here's what I want to say to you today. Jesus didn't calm the storm. He rebuked the winds. He rebuked the winds. Because it was not a natural storm. So I tell you today, use the authority of the name of Jesus. Speak to your storm and watch God deliver you. Amen. You've got to cross over to the other side. But there are some things you have to do as of today.